A nice quiet Monday, guys. Not much to chat about at all. Only the small matter of a derby yesterday that had goals, great goals, comical goals, hilarious goals. We had fights on the pitch. We had unsavoury elements that we'll probably discuss as well. What else did we have? VAR controversy, referee controversy. The only thing we really didn't have was a red card. John Beaton probably tried a little bit, but we managed to escape that. So much to chat about with Tony and Ryan. Guys, how are you both? 24 hours or so on?
Just about caught my breath. I don't know about you, Tony, but I've just about caught my breath after that game. That was even writing about it and trying to stay as calm as you could, or as calm as you can on the day, it's difficult because there's so much going on. When you're doing player ratings, especially when Celtic had such a good first half and then the second half was almost the opposite, then you're scrubbing out and adding bits in, taking things out. So it was a bit stressful, but I feel like everybody's caught their breath now and they're starting to let everything sink in after what was an action-packed day yesterday at Ibrox. I'm sure it was the same with Tony because he was actually there.
What was the day like, Tony?
A humdinger, I think you would call it, wasn't it? It was just, just had, as you say, had everything except a red card, didn't it? You know, you go back in the midst of time, there's been like four eaches. That was the first ever game I was at Ibrox, the four each game. There's been a couple of three eaches, you know, so it'll go down as the proverbial Derby Classic, won't it? Depends what way you want to look at it. But I think, it was just kind of amazing being there and just witnessing it all. You know, you were kind of like, did that just actually happen? And, you know, the quick start from Celtic and stuff like that. And yeah, they're always great occasions to be at, you know, but they're always result dependent, aren't they? So, but your mood's always determined by it. But I don't think anybody, I've seen before that in terms of quality, maybe not the best, but it certainly showed up. It was taking top billing on Sky. So I think everybody around the world will have said in terms of entertainment, it was great. In terms of quality, maybe not. But you know, I think we kind of showcased Scottish game and some of its glory there, didn't we?
I'd always take a game like that with, you know, loads of things happening over like a kind of drab match with maybe better quality. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, I would have loved Celtic to absolutely batter them yesterday. But I think certainly neutrals watching it would have been an exciting one. Right, a couple of bits of housekeeping before we move on. We're thrilled to have Weissman, a global leader in the boiler industry, sponsor our podcast. And to make things even more exciting, they've teamed up with Scotland's very own award-winning installation team. You know them, they're MPH Boilers, making this a match made in heaven. Weissman's boilers are engineered to deliver not just warmth, but unparalleled efficiency and reliability. We are talking cutting-edge technology that saves you money on energy bills and reduces emissions. And with MPH Boilers, you know you're getting service from the best in the business, a local team that are committed to excellence and customer satisfaction. When you choose a Weissman boiler that's installed by MPH, you'll also get a free internet controller and they're offering the first year service free. So this is your big chance to get world-class engineering with local expert service. Weissman and MPH Boilers, it's a match made in Scotland. Make sure to check them out and take the first step towards a warmer, more efficient home. We've still got this offer running, guys.
Certainly do, and we are getting ever so closer to the target that we set out to achieve before we even did this campaign, so we thank everybody that's joined us thus far. But to those who haven't joined us and maybe want to, 6 months of access is our best ever offer. You also get a free Kyogo Furuhashi print from renowned football artist made by Frankie. Those will be getting sent out very, very soon. We're just waiting on final numbers before actually sending them out. If you want to join us, get some analysis, get the instant analysis from yesterday, get the player ratings from myself, get Tony Starman from yesterday, which is on the site. It's been on the site since 6 o'clock this morning. Then please visit www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe. £1 for 6 months. And we thank everybody that's joined us thus far.
We do indeed. Right, where do we start, guys? Where do you even try to start after an afternoon like that? Well, 21 seconds in, I guess. Dyson Maeda. Have you ever seen a more... Take even the derby out of the equation. You ever seen Celtic score a more ridiculous goal than that?
I'd need to go back and think, to be honest, about those. That's really putting me in the spot in terms of other ridiculous goals Celtic have scored. I suppose the one that would, in terms of messiness, I remember Carlton Cole scored an absolutely disgusting goal against Inverness, but even then, but it was brilliant. That's Dyson Maeda. That's Maeda's, that's his game. Like, his game is to press and to press the opposition. Tavernier, and Neil Lennon is completely right in what he's saying. Maida's in his head all the time because, you know, he's in his head because he's that close to him to begin with. He never gives him a minute's peace, although I did think Tavernier was getting some joy in the second half, which could have resulted in Rangers getting more success in the game. But in the first half, for sure, Maida was hassling him. And he gets his reward for chasing what would, for other players, would maybe be a lost cause. I think other players need to take a leaf out of Maeda's book, especially when they're defending their man. You know, in the second half, I think we'll get on to it. But yeah, I don't want to go too far ahead, but there's a player that I think should be defending better for a particular goal. They should all take a leaf out of Maeda's. And I know they're not defenders, but they have to play as defenders when they're marking their opposite number. And Maeda did that, but he did that and then was on the offensive by sticking a leg out. And he got enough power on it or enough direction on the ball to make it 1-0. That really set the tempo for the first half. You know, it allowed Rangers to not settle whatsoever. They were on the back foot. Their fans were against them from very early doors. And you thought from that moment that, you know, if Celtic compose themselves on this game and compose and impose themselves on this game, then there was only going to be one winner. But, you know, as we all know, that didn't necessarily happen.
If ever a goal was microcosmic of a player's career, that was it, wasn't it? So you could sum up Dyson Maeda, you'd show that clip, wouldn't you? Describe Dyson Maeda as a player, or show me a clip that, you know, encapsulates Dyson Maeda as a footballer. Show that goal. That's what he gives you. Can't cross for Tuckfey, but hey, he's the roadrunner. He chases lost causes, as, you know, myself and Ryan said the other side yesterday as well. If I was Clement, I'd be, you know, you look at James Tavernier, right? Great threat going forward. He's never a defender for me. He really isn't. I think he'd be an effective offensive midfielder. But you look at his Rangers career, he has cost them goals against Celtic on many occasions. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many, but it would be pretty lengthy.
15 goals, I would say.
You know, so, and, you know, he just can't play against Maeda, and Maeda's got the better of him. And he had the better of him yesterday, and a few more bits of quality in terms of his crossing would have seen Celtic profit from that as well. He just never seems to get it right, does he? He either skies it, or he doesn't get enough purchase on it, or hits it out of the park. It's just, there's no in-between. He can never get... The only one he ever got banging the money was for the brazen header at Hampden for Jota. I think that's the only decent crosser I've ever seen Dyson Maeda put in, because he just dinked it. But a couple of times that's what was required yesterday, and a wee bit more composure in the final areas. But what a start. Incredible start. Yeah. You were just sort of rubbing your eyes thinking, that's in. just kind of, how did that go in? What happened there? But yeah, I mean, that's what he gives you, isn't it? That mixed bag that we talk about with Dyson Maeda.
He just absolutely loves Ibrox. I mean, even away from that goal, he was so involved in that first half, probably our most involved player. He had that chance that he should have done, you know, better with, and then he was involved. He nicked the ball off Tavernier again, I think. And remember, he did that weekend spin, and I think that was the one that O'Reilly eventually had the header that was, you know, a good save from Butland. But he was everywhere.
Do you know what I wanted to bring up? The one he nicked off Goldson, and Goldson just grabbed it. And
yes,
John Beaton soft gave the foul to Rangers. He robbed
there was
Goldson.
Some foul stats going about from the game yesterday.
And he was away. He robbed Goldson, and he was heading in on goal, and Goldson just that was a decision, Ryan, I was trying to think about yesterday. Remember you were talking about a couple of them, that obviously the one with Yang and the head knock, but that was the one I knew there was something else, and it was only when I came off the pod and I was like, oh, that Goldson just grabbed the ball with his hands. Yeah. After that, Dyson had nicked it away, and he nicked it away cleanly.
The stats app I've got here, I saw different numbers online, but there was 23 fouls committed by Celtic players and only 10 by Rangers. that's quite interesting to me. It didn't strike me as a game that Celtic were particularly fouly, and, you know, Rangers were the ones trying to get the game going and all of that. I found that kind of interesting. First half then, I mean, after the goal, I thought, you know, Rangers maybe looked like they kind of were a bit rattled, as you would be after conceding a goal. I felt that maybe the next 15, 20 minutes was relatively even, and that I don't think there was a major chance. Maybe the Goldson header that he shouldered. But from 25 minutes till half time, it was complete domination from Celtic. We had the O'Reilly header I'm talking about. We had the Hatate shot. Kyogo had a header. We obviously had the penalty as well. For me, that was a period that, as good as it was to go in up 2-0 at half time, you know, we really should have been maybe 3 up, possibly even more, given the clear cut opportunities we had.
Yeah. And I think this is where people, you know, maybe not taking the emotion, well, talking about the emotion and everything that happened in the game, they say a draw is a good result. From that period, the game should have been out of sight. I think that's where my main frustration was, because Celtic were so dominant from when they took that penalty to go 2-0 up to the chances that they had after that to really put the game to bed, and they didn't. And you always felt like Celtic were in control for that point, but right before, you know, it was an even game up until the penalty was given. You're like, you know, if Rangers rally and get back into this game, then they could get something. They could get a draw, they could get a win or whatever, because all it takes is one goal to change things. You've got to take those chances when they come. You know, that chance for Hatate, I think another couple of weeks of training and getting in games, he scores that goes in the back of the net. If you give him that same opportunity at Celtic Park, I've got no doubts that he scores it. Matt O'Reilly's header, there's not much he can really do with that. There's also a chance from Daizen Maeda. I can't remember exactly when it was in the game, but if 1-0. He opens up his foot whatsoever, if he opens it up and puts it anywhere near the corner, it's a goal. He actually takes the shot really poorly and gives Butland a chance to save it, and it's a pretty routine save. It's just this decision-making on both ends of the park that I think has cost Celtic in this game, because for large parts of it, they were the better team, but their decision-making on either end has been their downfall in this game. And I don't want to get too negative, because in the end, it was a good result, and I'm warming to a draw the more I think about it. But I can't not think about it being a potential missed opportunity with the chances that Celtic had, particularly in the first half.
Rangers were all over the place, Tony, at that stage. And, you know, Ryan's mentioned a few chances. There was a Kyogo header right after 2-0 as well. There was also a number of opportunities where Kyogo was kind of put through, and he was maybe kind of one-on-one with the defender, and we didn't make the most of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in that first half, Celtic were really good, I thought.
Celtic bossed it in the
first half. Rangers were horrendous.
Oh, they were dreadful. And it told at half-time, the booing that they got was, and even that 20-minute spell that you're talking about when, I mean, there was a point where Celtic had the ball, and I said to Ryan, there's an old clip in the 70s from Leeds, and they're just playing it around. And the Rangers fans were genuinely booing and saying, shouting, do something, tackle them, go to them. And Celtic were just like, what is proven is that Hatate was clearly fit to play a part of that, right? And you saw that O'Reilly's a much better player when Hatate's on the park. He really is. And when Hatate went off the park, O'Reilly was the kind of outlet to try and get you forward, and it became a bit of a thankless task at times for him. Bernardo probably should have came on earlier, and then we all kind of dispute the McGregor substitution, because he just wasn't ready for it, really, was he? Mm-hmm. And it showed. But that first half for me, and I said to Ryan as well, and I wrote it in the instant analysis, it was a midfield masterclass, because the three guys in there, Iwata was winning the ball and giving it to O'Reilly and Hatate, and they were spraying passes about all over the place. They were opening up the play. They kept their composure. They kept a hold of it. They got you territory. They got you up the park. And they were as cool and as composed as anybody inside that stadium. And that's largely why we were 2-0 up, because the midfield functioned. And I still say Hatate is still nowhere near 100%, but he was good for an hour. And that was clearly the game plan. What happened in the first half was that wasn't meant to happen. It was meant to happen the other way. Rangers were meant to do that to Celtic, get the quick fire start and put Celtic under pressure and dominate the game. They didn't. They couldn't, because Celtic were so good in that area. And the manager himself said that you know, they showed bravery and they were composed about it. And I thought that too. But for all of that, you know, at last 90 minutes, they fell out of it after the penalty was awarded, didn't they? Or just prior to that. And, yeah. You know, it was, you know, and that's where the damage was done, really, wasn't it? Because Rangers got the, you know, the lift up from that contentious decision, and as you would, you're being roared on by 50,000 fans, and you know it was coming at you in waves. So I thought then was probably the better time to bring on Bernardo to get you some territorial advantage. It was all about game management, but you know that I feel that's the best that Rangers could throw at Celtic yesterday, and they manage a 3-3 draw, and you have to give them credit for coming back from 2-0 down and 3-2 down after 87 minutes. But one of those teams can get better, and that's Celtic, I think, over the course of the next six games. So that's why I'm as confident as I can be that they can still retain their title.
Yeah. Just to, you know, finish off the match stuff, and then we'll definitely, you know, talk about that. Just VAR calls, well, there's no complaints from us anyway, but the Goldson elbow handballs, you know, a definite penalty. Obviously, that's the case. O'Reilly takes it really well. Actually called him Panenka-ing it in the pub, which is a hell of an achievement. I just had a feeling he was going to do something mad, and it was a great penalty. Right, second half, as you're touching on, Tony. For me, it's interesting because people will probably look at the halftime team talk that Clement gave and all that, and I know we expected Rangers to come out in the second half and be better. We were still, you know, creating stuff at the start of that second half. Right at the start, Hatate has that shot, you remember, that it was a weird one where it almost went past Butland from distance. Then a couple of minutes later, for me, the big turning point in the game, Fabio Silva, who I just want to say I thought was an embarrassment yesterday, and I think, you know, even Ranger fans would have to admit, just so, it's actually almost strange to see a player behaving like that in Scottish football. It doesn't happen too often. I know we've had a few in recent years, mostly playing for them, but I just thought he was a total embarrassment. But anyway, he wins a penalty. I just thought it was an extremely harsh decision. There's a slight bit of contact from Alistair Johnson. There's also contact in the ball from Alistair Johnson. Silva takes another touch, Ryan, and then falls down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that an obvious error?
I don't think so. And I've got to say, I have watched it back since the last time we were live. So I have watched it a number of times. The thing that VAR doesn't show, it seemingly, they're looking to give a penalty at that decision. They're looking to change John Beaton's mind, and they use the camera angles. They don't use every camera angle. They only use the one that makes it look as if it's a penalty. And they also, strangely, don't show the contact from Alistair Johnson. There is a clear angle that is used on Sports Scene, and Michael Stewart was bringing it up on Sports Scene, that Alistair Johnson completely takes the ball off him. You can see the touch from his boot that means that the ball goes out of play. It would have been a corner. Yes, that's still costly. It could be costly because Tavernier or Diamandé can put in a good ball, but it's a corner. I thought that I'd need to double-check the rules, but I thought that if you get the ball, it doesn't matter what contact you get, because that gets negated because you've won the ball. It's not as if he's followed through and studied the man in the box, albeit it was as if Fabio Silva was studied in the box the way he was going about it. But I don't get it. He wins the ball. For me, he wins the ball. I think it's incredibly harsh. I can see why it was given. I can also see why John Beaton gave it, because of the angles that he's seen on VAR. But I don't think he's seen the whole story, if I'm being honest.
But John Beaton's seen it and booked the boy for simulation. He saw it. He knows what he saw. Again, just because you're called to the VAR screen, you can have the courage of your convictions and stand by your original decision. Right? He should have, because he knows what he saw. And then you're showing the angles where the contact from Alistair Johnson on the ball wasn't shown. It's incredible, which was Michael Stewart's main point, that whatever replays they showed in Sky, they were showing you after the contact that Alistair Johnson had made on the ball. So it's an unreal still. It's an unreal picture, because it's not what happened. You have to take
it. It's also slowed down.
Why wasn't he showing that?
I've no idea. So
in such a contentious, it's a correct. Big moment. You're two nothing up. This is the chance for Rangers to get back in the game.
Yeah, change the momentum of the game entirely. So I don't know why they never showed up. But going back to the laws, Ryan, I think that all challenges in the box, even if you get contact on the ball, they're not all deemed legal because you can take the man out as well. But he didn't take the man out, did he? Because the contact is initiated by the dive from Silva into his leg, which after making contact with the ball was came up, hasn't it? I think he does contact him with contacting his knee, doesn't it? But that's kind of all to do with the falling motion as he falls back, having gotten a touch on the ball and winning it cleanly. So, you know, the rules are a pretty grey area there, aren't they? Or maybe not. But it does say that not all challenges, if you take the ball, are legal. So I guess it maybe falls into that jurisdiction and category. But I thought it was a fairly legal challenge for the ball, was it not? Because he gets contact on it and he takes it away.
Yeah.
Silver's not going to score, is he? He might reach it. But he's not going to score, is he?
No, he would definitely have reached it. That's the thing. Like, why did he just dive? He had no intention to get on the end of it and put it across, and he was just playing for a penalty.
And the referee,
because he reverted
right
to type, because that's what he was doing for the whole game. I don't want to call out individual players, but he was...
I don't really want to spend much longer talking about him either, to be honest.
And if you look at his Instagram post yesterday, you've got a lot of Rangers fans that are calling him out for the way that he was playing, saying he shouldn't be diving all over the
that
place.
That was a Celtic player playing like that. Can we just move on to the one after that? Rangers have the ball in the net. I think we lost our composure big time at this point. Is there any argument that we got away with one there? I mean, I think it's a clear foul on Iwata. I'm actually surprised that Beaton didn't give it, because he's a couple of yards away, and I actually wasn't that worried when the goal went in. I was kind of like, I think that'll get pulled back, because it looked like a foul. Is it a foul, Tony? Are you pretty confident that it's a foul?
Clear foul.
Just asking.
And it's right in front of him. So again, I get back to what are you seeing and what you're not seeing there. You can't be blindsided. You're looking right at that. He's taking him out. Does he honestly think that Lawrence has got a touch on that ball? Because it's the only explanation why he never gave that foul. So then you go back to it. If you can't see that, then you're incompetent. You shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be the man in the middle for a game like that, because the title's going to hinge on your decisions and those surrounding you in the VAR room. It's simple. There's two decisions yesterday where he's yards away from it. No, one, he gives what he saw, which was correct, and then it's overturned, incredibly, and then one is had to be overturned by VAR because he's not saw something that happened right in front of his eyes, and only they can explain it. Only a guy like Beaton can explain that, and they won't speak for obvious reasons. So
he lost complete control. The referee lost complete control of the game, and he, regardless if the goal is disallowed or not, Dessers clearly runs into the crowd as well. No booking for that. It seems as if there was fouls getting given for yellow cards given for things, and then yellow cards not given for things, which indicates a lack of control from the referee in the game. I'd also point out the Yang head knock, which is, for me, it's worse than the penalty, and it's worse than that disallowed goal eventually, because that's dangerous. It's dangerous for a player to have a head knock lying on the ground, and then John Beaton waits until the chance is over before going back and checking on a player who's clearly on the ground holding his head for a head knock. You know, in a game where concussions should be is trying to be taken more seriously, you know, you hear about incidents week on week about concussions and the long-term lasting impacts. It's an immediate stop to the game. You don't wait until Rangers have finished their opportunity before it goes out of play, before stopping the play. That's endangering the safety of a player.
As I say, I want to move on, because I do want to chat about where the result leaves us. What was the thoughts for the rest of the match? I mean, we were kind of digging in at that stage, didn't really have much to offer in an attacking sense, other than Adam Ida, who I thought, even apart from his goal, really put himself about and was a handful. So we concede a late equaliser. We then go up the park, Ida scores, we think we've won it. and then we concede another late equaliser. It's obviously disappointing, Tony. I mean, we're not going to come on and say that we're not gutted that we didn't win that game. Were you hoping for more in the closing stages to get it over the line?
The minute Adam Eder scored, I still didn't think it was finished, and I knew there'd be a hefty chunk of injury time, and I knew Rangers would create one more chance at least. So he scores, what, 87 minutes? I'm thinking there's a good 10 minutes. I did say, I think it was Graham McGarry from the Herald that was sitting beside me, and I said, there'll be 8 minutes added on here at least, just in my head.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it came up 8 minutes, and I looked at him and I went, this ain't finished. You just knew, and that's the disappointment that they couldn't hold on. But I agree with you. I thought Eder was excellent when he came on. He just had very little support, didn't he? When he was up there and he was winning the ball, and he gave Goldson a hell of a time. And the one he skinned Goldson and then made a hash of the ball across, you know, you're looking for, what's that, 4-2? Would that have made it 4-2 or 3-2 at that point? I can't remember.
3-2.
3-2, yeah.
3-1.
Yeah, 3-1, sorry, yeah. You know, you're talking, those are match-winning moments that if you execute them, you walk away with 3 points. So that's why I'm confident that if Celtic get them back to Celtic Park and play like they did in the first half and can execute these moments, that they'll be all right. You know, but it was gutting to lose it, but not to lose it, to lose a last minute equaliser, but you have to give it to Rabbi Matondo. It's a wonder goal, isn't it? It's a great strike. You can't do anything about that. Yang could possibly have did a lot better, right? It's preventable in that sense, right? I get that, but the execution from Matondo is top draw. So sometimes you have to just kind of doff your cap and say, okay, great goal, take a bow, son. So he'll never score another goal like that in his career. But, and he picked the right moment to do it, didn't he? But I think Yang is culpable there, isn't he? The same way McGregor was culpable for the equaliser 86
minutes. And Yang, for me, for the second one as well. I thought Yang, I mean, McGregor is probably the main one, but Yang was on his heels. I'm not going to say much more about it, but I really thought Yang was... really struggled. He really needs to work in his game intelligence. He's clearly got raw attributes, but that's all they are at the moment. Frustrating, Ryan. Can we touch on the big picture, though? I just want to go through a few comments because we have got loads in. Millions of them in. There's nearly 1,000 of us watching us live at the moment. Smell the glove saying, hail, hail, win six and it's ours, and continues. All the focus now in St Mirren on Saturday. It's a clear road. Win six games. Four of them are at home. By the way, Rangers will get 7 left, 5 of them away from home. I think that's a very interesting detail. John saying, morning, lads. When the dust settles, I think a draw will be a decent result. Embarrassing that the Rangers resorting to diving for penos and celebrations at the draw. Stephen Ray saying, disappointed with the end result. However, the aim of yesterday was to finish the game with the league still in our hands. As it stands, Celtic will have 4 home and 2 away, so it's advantage Celtic. Jerry saying it felt like a loss. Still gutted. Davey also saying gutted after the first half performance, but now he's had time to think about it. It's still in our hands and we'll beat them at home. For me, it comes down to that. Do you back this Celtic team to beat them in 4 weeks, probably 5 weeks, at Celtic Park with 60,000 of our own, making it as hostile as you can't even imagine? It'll be the biggest derby in years, and we can genuinely say that this time.
Yeah.
I back this Celtic team based off yesterday with all of the things in our favour. Everything was against us yesterday, guys, when you look at it. Everything. And I think, you know, with them coming to Celtic Park, Ryan, that's a game I fancy.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest Glasgow derby in over a decade, maybe even more than that, this one that's coming up. Now I think you can officially say that, just due to the way that this season's turning out. Self-inflicted for a lot of it, I would say. Celtic, you know, have allowed this title race to happen and it will continue to go on from now until the end of the season, but that's the cards that they've been playing with, that they've been dealt, and they need to deal with that for the rest of the season. I do back this team because I back this team at home to turn up and do the business. They've got so many characters in that team. They've got Hugo that loves this fixture. They've even got players in the last game like Bernardo, who again came onto the pitch and made a positive impact. That's 2 games in a row. I think I've seen enough, to be honest, to sign him up in the summer. I think there's a player there. Get him a full pre-season and he will be really, really good for Celtic. I think if there's a deal to be done with Benfica, then it should be exercised, because I think there's a player there. He's got character. That pass to Ida was brilliant. It was forward thinking, and I absolutely love to see that from a sub. I wanted to make sure that we spoke about him just a tiny bit, but I do agree. I think momentum's with Celtic, even though it looked on the final whistle, it looked as if Rangers had won the game. You can talk about moral victories and stuff. It was a draw. It was a 3-3 draw. Celtic will be happier with the point in the long term, I think. And yeah, they've got one last Glasgow derby at Celtic Park in front of 60,000 fans. It's going to be mad. It's going to be wild. The game that I'm more worried about, potentially, is Kilmarnock away, because it looks as if Celtic will have an away game at Rugby Park, which has been a bit of a bogey ground for Celtic this season. If they can overcome that, as well as the other fixtures that will come up, then I think they'll be fine. But, yeah, I'm hungry for this now. You know, I think yesterday's managed to... I mean, I was hungry for it before, but it's reignited everything. These games always have that effect, and I just think that Celtic will go from strength to strength. You have a fully fit captain, you have a fully fit Rio Hatate, barring any injuries. Cameron Carter-Vickers, who was a colossus yesterday, will be another week forward in his recovery, his long-term recovery. I just think all the positives are with Celtic at this point, despite the celebrations that were going on at full-time. I think in the long-term, Celtic will benefit.
I've fancied my chances, Tony. I mean, for me, yesterday was about, and it might sound negative to say it, but it was almost about not losing the league. I think if Rangers had won yesterday, you'd probably be looking at being 5 points behind in a couple of days. They could have come to Celtic Park in a few weeks, lost, and still had it all in their hands. Yesterday, we denied them that right. There's still so much work to be done. For me, it's probably 50-50, if I'm totally honest. But I back the Celtic team to get the job done.
I saw enough in the first half to convince me that Celtic can do this. It's the first time this season I've thought, yep, they can reel off 6 wins in the spin. Yeah. And I trust the manager and I trust those players to execute it. Because they were executing that game plan to a tee at Ibrox in the first half. And I think the manager himself said he's excited by the fact that, you know, players will be fitter and better down the stretch. And if he can see that, he wasn't disappointed at not being able to see it out. Well, certainly, publicly, that's what he said. Maybe privately, he'd be disappointed. But this, it meant more to Rangers in terms of what they could do for their title hopes. And again, they've had a massive game against Celtic and they've not won. That's a Celtic team which I said to you off air. Hatate's still struggling for fitness. The game passed by Kuhn. Cameron Carter-Vickers isn't 100% fit, but my goodness, what a performance he put in, you know. And Callum McGregor comes on, clearly shouldn't have been on the park. And, you know, so, and then you've got guys like Bernardo and Ida. Don't rule out Adam Ida having a say in this title race either. I love what Ida brought to the table yesterday. And I think he's going about the right way of asking the question as well of Norwich come the end of the season. Because he was very good when he came on yesterday, very good.
That was character, and, that finish. That was
tremendous, you know, and, you know, people were blaming Butland. He struck it sweet. It's really low, and Butland's got no time to react. And, again, the hallmark of a class striker, because it was one of the few chances Celtic created. It was near the end. First thought, get it out my feet and have a strike at goal. Don't score if you don't shoot. And he knew that. And it was just so soon after Rangers had scored. And on any other day, it would probably have been the winner, eh? But
yeah,
as I say, Matondo had something to say about that. So I've seen enough, Hamish, to say over the next 6 games at Celtic, and I think they're perfectly capable of going to Kilmarnock, Ryan, and doing a number in
Kilmarnock.
Much
better place now than we were for either of those games.
And they owe Kilmarnock, don't they? So
yeah,
I think that'll be very much in the players' minds as well, that they haven't done themselves justice at Rugby Park in the games where they played against them this season. So I've got no qualms about this Celtic team being able to get over the line in this one. I really don't.
I think it's a great point you made about, you know, the first time you've really believed this season and that's a team that's going. I think the team actually believe now.
Yeah.
I think they've got players back. I think they've got the bit between their teeth. And I tell you something, roll on Saturday. I think it's going to be... 60,000 at Celtic Park, pretty much, maybe, you know, a couple of thousand shy. But, you know, Saturday 3 o'clock, isn't it? It's a huge game. I think it's going to be an absolute belter, and it's such an opportunity. Every game, we've only got 6 games left, Tony.
And that's important, Ryan will tell you himself. Celtic need all the fans to drive them over the line here as well.
Yeah.
Because there will be...
And there's not really... I know some people are unhappy with the second half, but there's not really many dissenting voices now. No. Everyone has forgotten January. You know, we can address that in the summer, recruitment, etc. Now everyone's just homed in and winning this title, and everyone's, you know, fully behind the team.
I believe the term is locked in. Everybody's locked in now for the rest of the season. From now until then, get the Scottish Cup as well to look forward to in a couple of weeks' time against Aberdeen, which will take care of itself, of course. Hopefully the league table looks even better by the time that game comes around. You never know. But yeah, I think everybody, despite any gripes that you've got, maybe with recruitment, maybe even with the manager, with the hierarchy, everybody is on board now with Celtic from now until the end of the season. It's going to be a raucous atmosphere from now until the end of the season at Celtic Park. I think the siege mentality has started, and I think it will just continue from now until the end of the season. And I'm just looking forward to covering all of it, home and away. It's going to be a roller coaster ride. This whole season's been a roller coaster ride, and it would only be consistent if the ending was just like that, as well as the way it has been for the vast majority of proceedings. But the way it's going, you wouldn't want it any other way, and I'm just excited for the next game. Now, all of a sudden, despite Celtic drawing a game that they probably should have won, I'm now excited for the next game on Saturday. You know, I'm hungry for more. I'm hungry to see Celtic again, because I think in the first half we've seen glimpses of what this team can be under Brendan Rodgers, and if that can be maintained over a longer spell, then I think they'll be in a pretty good place.
Final point on that, just when you mentioned the manager, you obviously heard him after the game, Tony. I watched the stuff. We've got it on our YouTube, by the way. You can watch the full press conference. Brendan Rodgers was very happy. Maybe happy is the wrong word. Very content with the draw yesterday. Obviously, he would have loved to win. Wasn't disappointed in any way, he said, with the team. And I got the impression, reading between the lines, that he is fancying this next derby at Celtic Park. I know there's 5 other games as well. And honestly, we can't, you know, underestimate the impact teams like Hearts and Kelly and St Mirren will have in this title race. I think there'll be other drop points. But that next derby, he fancies this one.
What did he say? We keep fighting. We keep pushing. Celtic will write their own story. Basically, that what he was saying, dot, dot, dot. Leave it there. He fancies it big time. The players fancy it big time. That first half performance told them this is here for the taking. And as I said to Ryan yesterday, watching that first half, I got that feeling that I was watching the champions elect. I have to say that.
Oh.
So, and I don't know, and it might come back to bite me, possibly, but you rightfully pointed out everything was against Celtic there. And the way they controlled that for that first 45, I was really impressed with. And I can't not see this team not string 6 victories together.
Saturday's going to be amazing. I just already can't wait for it and see what the team have got up their sleeve after that. Real chance, I think, even though we didn't win yesterday, a real chance to pile a bit of pressure on. And if you're ready for a big prediction, everyone, and again, I may regret this, I think Rangers will drop points over the next week in one of their 2 matches. So there you go. Right, let's end on that bombshell. just a final shout-out for this offer that we've got running. 6 months of access for £1, plus a free Kyogo Furuhashi print from renowned football artist made by Frankie. And, went on a wee bit longer today because there was so much to fit in. Thanks, guys, for your time. We'll do this throughout the week, and I'm sure the fallout will continue. Speak to you all soon.